once in a name. That which you call a rose, by any other name would smell as sweet.
In San Francisco, there's one special place where you'll find flowers from the writings of William Shakespeare. Just west of the bustle of the California Academy of Sciences sits a garden dedicated to English literature's crowned prince. You can easily miss it, but once you pass through the entrance gate and walk down a worn brick path, you're transported into an English garden filled with manicured flower beds, trimmed lawns, and people escaping the noise of the city. KALW's Jeremy Dalmas visited the garden and brought back this story.
Thanks, Tommy. Let me see if I can find it up here. Because... I know a bank whereon the wild thyme blows, where oxlips and nodding violet grows, quite over, canopied with luscious woodbine, with sweet musk roses and with eglantine, there sleeps Titania, some time of the night, lulled in these flowers with dances and delight.
Joe Shemaleski is scanning a row of bronze plaques. Each one is stamped with quotes from William Shakespeare's works.
And that comes from A Midsummer Night's Dream.
We're in the Garden of Shakespeare's Flowers. It's an enclosed nook of Golden Gate Park that's filled only with plants mentioned in the writings of the Bard. Shemaleski is one of the park's gardeners, and he loves the flowers here.
Along the fence there is the eglantine roses.
What's an eglantine rose?
Oh, I just found out what it is. It's a great rose. It's an old tea rose, so it spreads, it puts out a very nice flower, but then you just get this brilliant rose hip behind it. And so, yeah, it's very nice. Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so that's what that is.
This garden, though it's special, is not really unique.
This is one of several Shakespeare gardens throughout the country, and there are several others around the world. And they're all basically outlined the same way, 17th century classical garden.
Cleveland, Manhattan, Vienna, Johannesburg, all of them have Shakespeare gardens. Most of them were built in the early part of the 1900s. This one opened in the summer of 1929, and there's a reason why there are Shakespeare gardens and not Mark Twain or Hemingway gardens. Eric Anderson, the superintendent of Golden Gate Park, says that the Bard's work translates well to landscaping.
He mentions plants really vividly and really in depth in a lot of his works.
Do you have a favorite flower here? Or favorite tree?
To be honest, my favorite tree is the cedar here.
The tree stretches tall above the flowers, presiding over the entire garden.
It's a great specimen, and I suspect that it was one of the original plantings, and it's a really beautifully shaped specimen covered in Spanish moss.
Lauren Sabadin comes to the garden often. Today, she's lying on a blanket with an old book.
I was actually just reading my poetry book and trying to draw some inspiration and do some writing.
The book that she's reading from is actually the same age as the garden, filled with poems from the early 1900s. She reads me part of her favorite one. It's called The Philosopher.
And what are you that, missing you, I should be kept awake as many nights as there are days with weeping for your sake? And what are you that, missing you, as many days as crawl, I should be listening to the wind and looking at the wall. I know a man that's braver man, and 20 men as kind. And what are you that you should be the one man in my mind?
That's so nice.
Yes, she has
Who
a crush
that?
On a philosopher. Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Beyond inspiration, Sabadin says the garden offers her a refuge.
It's my escape from the bustle of the city streets. Yeah, come down to just enjoy the beauty and peace and quiet. I love to read and write and nap down here. Catch up on my sleep a little bit.
You know, a part of the...
Shemaleski, the gardener, is getting ready to leave. He's about to lock up a set of steel shutters that enclose the bust of Shakespeare himself. It's a unique replica of a famous one from the writer's hometown in England. He's holding a quill and looking straight ahead, like he's posing for me. And there's an inscription under the statue. A gift to our city from the town of Stratford-upon-Avon and its former mayor, Archibald Flower. Oh, wow.
You know,
that's lucky that we got it.
Yeah, right.
Park Superintendent Anderson says they normally keep the statue locked away. Perhaps, back in 1929, you could have valuable busts sitting out in the open. But not so these days. In fact, if you look where there are supposed to be 6 plaques with Shakespeare quotes, today there are only 4, and a couple of blank spaces. Those 2 plaques were wrenched off the wall in 2008, most likely stolen to be sold for scrap metal. No matter how tranquil it may seem here, we are still in the middle of 21st century San Francisco. For Cross Currents, I'm Jeremy Dalmas.